If you've ever been betrayed, you need to listen to how you can go from being hurt to happy. First Steps to Trust Again. Rachel Richards will tell us how to do that. And she is a dating coach. So Rachel, please tell us, how can someone go from being betrayed to restarting their life happy?
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Thank you for having me, Lily. I think that's an excellent question, especially when it comes to dating. I think when we get into the dating field, we're always ready to just jump in with both feet. We forget that there might be a couple of things that might get in the way. So when you're coming out of a relationship where your expectations were not met, which happens to most of us, sometimes the best thing to start with is the repair part with yourself. What happened in the relationship that made you so unhappy? What should have happened? And then what are the steps to make it better next time? So those are the basic three questions that I ask all my clients when they have a hesitation towards getting into the next relationship.
Can you break down a bit further the three steps that you mentioned?
Absolutely. I like to talk about what happened as, for lack of a better word, it's the intentionality to change the situation, of which most of us are not comfortable going there, because denial is it's a very comfortable place to be in. It's very comfortable to be like, oh no, it wasn't my fault, and I'm the best partner they could ever be, and there's nothing I could do to change. But just the intentionality of knowing that, hey, maybe I could take back the power in this situation, and maybe something, I'm not crazy. This person got used to hurting me. My needs were not met, and I need to change something. That's the basic of what happened. And just examining it from a place of non-judgment, because we like to go back and say, oh, I shouldn't have been so stupid. What could I have, you know, with all the judgment, but stepping out of that place and actually being a friend to yourself.
Thank you. So is the first step to kind of look at where is your part in this, and can perhaps previous trauma contribute to this? Because I think perhaps if we are not healing certain things that have been hurting us from a really, you know, young age, we tend to repeat those kind of abuse cycles, or those particular cycles where we need to learn something. And until we kind of like learn it, we keep repeating them. So is that the case? And if so, what do we need to do to stop self-abusing ourselves by attracting these people that perhaps are not actually our ideal mate?
Yeah, so I love that question. I like where the direction is going. Having that conversation with yourself takes a lot of ownership. It's a lot of ownership standing and saying, hey, something in my past is causing this to happen. It takes a level of ownership that not so many people had. I didn't have it. So in order to be able to stand in that position and actually examine what the cycles are in your life and how the toxic relationships keep repeating, you have to actually give yourself grace. I'm going to just say it like that. Give yourself grace, knowing that you can't go back into your past and undo the things you've been through, and forgive yourself for not being strong enough or not knowing any better. The version of you in the past didn't know any better. They were just doing the best they could with what they knew at that time. That grace, that self-forgiveness is the beginning of appreciating, hey, I've been through something, but hey, it can get better. Yeah.
Thank you. What mindset shifts need to happen so that someone can go from continuously attracting the wrong relationship to being in a healthy relationship that fulfills you?
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I want everybody listening to this to take it with a grain of salt. some people I've worked with get their power out of being the victim. Because whenever I ask, what are you gaining out of holding on to that pain? They get power from knowing that it wasn't them. So the mindset shift we have to get into is, I'm not always going to let things just happen to me. I'm going to get into a place where I can have more control. I can't be the victim anymore, and I can't get power out of that, or keep getting power out of the pity that people give me from being in my situation. So I think that's the biggest mindset shift that I've seen my clients go through, and they're like, okay, now I can heal.
Thank you. Why is a narcissist so attractive to an empath, or, you know, like a in a relationship? I mean, like, why are people in general attracted so deeply to exactly the kind of person they really shouldn't be attracted to? And why is it so hard to even like let go of that person, even though you are very much aware, for example, this person hurt me, this person, I don't know, betrayed me, this person lied to me, this person slept with multiple women, or I don't know what else this person did. And then why is it so hard to kind of like come out of that trauma bond, knowing fully well how bad that person is for you?
Okay, so let's just put it this way. Power is very addictive. Okay, if somebody did not have power in a situation when they were younger, let's say narcissism comes from a big fear of rejection. So if I didn't have power over rejection when I was younger, didn't have a healthy way to deal with it, I'm going to find people in my life around me, or surround myself with people in my life that I can manipulate and control and play on their emotions so that I don't experience the dreaded rejection ever again. It's so addictive. And I talk about this with my clients on the call. Toxic relationships are so addictive. The abuse is so addictive. One of my clients is a ballerina, and she's like, you, even though you do the best plié or the best turn, your teacher will never tell you you're good enough, and you keep craving it, and that's what keeps you working 8 hours a day. And you know, and I get it, but it's the same for toxic relationships. That's what keeps us holding on, the need to please this person who looks like they'll never be pleased, the need to be enough, and replaying again. It's replaying the past relationships and trying to fix them using the present situation. So that's why it's so hard to leave to.
So how does someone come out of an ultra toxic relationship where they are absolutely addicted? Like, they are addicted as if they were, I don't know, in the same way that you can be addicted to all sorts of substances or smoking or drinking or whatever it is. You can also be addicted to a person in that same way, and kind of trying to stay away from them could actually lead to having withdrawal symptoms, like you're vomiting, you're shaking, you have anxiety. How does someone come out of that terrible addiction where they know that person is toxic, they know that person is cheating or betraying in some way, lying, and still they are unable to come out of that? What do they need to do to kind of come out of that super addictive relationship?
This is going to sound harsh, Lily, but rock bottom is a good place to start. Realizing things are never going to get better. You have to get tired. You have to get frustrated enough. You have to get angry enough to motivate yourself out of some situation. And I get it. Some of my clients, they come to me and they're like, I got to the point where I don't care who's right or wrong in this discussion. I don't care who's right or wrong. I'm just tired of having to overly explain your and make excuses for your actions. Reaching that point of yourself where you're like, there has to be something better. Like, I'm tired of this. Can I live like this for the rest of my life? It comes from forgetting that that person is the center of your life and remembering, I had dreams. I had things I wanted to do. Whereas that, and also that also comes with anger. I wasted too much time. I hear my clients say that. Yeah.
Thank you. So how can someone heal from having, for example, breadcrumbing, from having experienced intermittent positive reinforcement, where they're getting a little bit of an acknowledgement, a little bit of, oh, you're so beautiful today. And if they're getting especially breadcrumbs that come every single day in the force, in the shape of, let's say, I don't know, a smiley face or you're so beautiful, and then they perhaps don't hear from that person for 1 week or 2 weeks, and of course they are with other people, you know, what would you say to someone to kind of like, what would be the first step for someone who is like incredibly addicted to a toxic relationship, come out of that? What would they need to do? Is it that they just need to come to this realization that they can't take it anymore? And then from there, where do they go from there? Like, what would they do first? Is it that they would, I don't know, exercise, or what is it the first thing that they would do to actually start healing?
Mm-hmm. So breadcrumbing, I have a personal a personal experience with breadcrumbing, and I felt like it was only when I was about to break that I got just a little bit to keep me going until the next time, right? So it came, I read a book that says when your values are strong, you can't be manipulated, and that comes from confidence and keeping promises to yourself. The only reason why you let somebody break promises to you so constantly, it's because you're doing that in your mind. You don't have confidence in yourself to even fulfill the promises you. I mean, example, go to the gym, right? It's the 80% of the work is showing up. Why is that? Because you have to keep the promise to yourself. You say you're going to do this. You say you're going to write that book. You say you're going to apply for that promotion at work. And the only person seeing you tell all those lies is you. So the first step is don't be a liar pretending to tell the truth. If you really, really want to stop the breadcrumbs, stop giving them to yourself and actually start show yourself that I love you enough to keep promises to yourself. Then when somebody does it to you, you're like, no, absolutely not. So that's, I think that's what worked for me and changed the way I look at relationships. The law of reciprocity is so important in relationships, because I'm sorry to say this, but relationships are profit-based. We stay around people that honor the same values. If they are constantly taking from us, we feel like they're draining us. So if there is no give and take, it's because on the inside, you're expecting that relationships should be like this. And that's something you heal when you look at your values, you look at the way you treat yourself. And you date yourself, basically. Simple answer.
What does that mean, date yourself?
So everything you expect somebody else in your life to do for you, how do you want them to show up for you? You start doing for yourself. Are you keeping the promises to yourself? I mean, some girls, they want flowers, but they never have a self-care day.
They never some have
a self-care day. Like, they never actually do things for themselves. You don't show yourself that you're loved. You don't keep promises to yourself. And when we get down to the basic, the values, what are you looking for in a relationship? What is missing? You know, what should have happened? What happened? What should have happened? That process is like, maybe it was loyalty. Maybe it was monogamy. What are you missing? And how does that translate to the way you treat yourself? Or what kind of relationship are you trying to replay so that you look for somebody to fix, somebody to build? You know, it's an amazing journey.
Thank you. So imagine someone, let's say, is kind of very much realizing that a particular person is bad for them. And then mm-hmm. they take a decision, okay, I'm going to quit this relationship because it's bad for me. And then what do they do next? Like, what's the, like, where do they go from there? Like, so that they don't end up with a similar person in a different body. That makes sense.
Yes, I think I like this question because I think I made a whole video on it. It's called Cutting Out the Noise. It's the journey of separation. Sometimes we take it too lightly that we're keeping the friends of these people in our lives. Sometimes when you cut the cord, it's not only honoring the promise and actually cutting the person out of your life. It's, you know, building new experiences to replace the old ones. The reason why we keep going back to toxic relationship is we truly believe that that was our happiness. We can find a happiness outside of that role that we play. That's where separation starts and you're like, oh my God, I can't find anything outside of that person. You have to reconnect with yourself. Actually cut the cord and get rid of the chaos, the battles in your mind. And actually, I call this the emotional terrorist and the voice of truth. But the emotional terrorist just wants to keep you safe. It's doing the best that it can. So it would say, can we do our best without, how are you going to survive financially? And proving that person wrong, keeping the promises to yourself, seeing those small actions every day does actually help.
Thank you. So I used to date someone, okay? And I found out a little bit later that he turned out to be married. So, you know, I stopped seeing him, but I was really heartbroken, you know, because I really liked him and he was really great in bed. Okay. And probably too much information, but
no, that's okay.
Is that I was actually ultra addicted to him. And what I found is after that, I'm very lucky that, you know, I found someone who is, you know, very nice and very kind and very sweet and very generous and you know, makes me feel like a princess every day. And we talk until 4 a.m. every day because there's a different type of excitement. You know, it's I would say that the kind of excitement I had, you know, with the other guy was very much more like lustful. Right? All around, like, you know, sexual stuff. And then the one that I have with my current partner is more like elevated, you know, it's more about like, oh, we're doing a business together, or, you know, we're having so much fun and we're talking all night. So it's very, very different. And so what I'm want to ask you is like, why is it that toxic relationships tend to feel much sweeter, although they're actually not? And I mean, like, from a sexual perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's a thrill. I dealt with a client and she kept telling me, oh, something's missing in the bedroom. This guy's amazing, but something's missing in the bedroom. When we go back to what we have defined passion or intimacy as, sometimes it was the thrill of the chase. It's not the person, it's the situation, it's the environment. For her, she admitted to me that she was always the third person in the relationship, and she knew it. So she looked forward to somebody picking her, choosing her, right? I want to be picked. You know, it's a love me, pick me, choose me kind of thing. That was where her intimacy. So taking the time to redefine intimacy is part of the healing process. And also you notice that your priorities change after you've been heartbroken. Now it's, I want somebody to build with. I don't just want this lust thing. And I've been where you are. Absolutely. In the moment, it's sweet. That lust phase, oh my God, it is so good. But later you're like, oh my God, no, this, I want somebody to build it. Then you get excited about other things because you know that person has staying power. So it depends on the priorities, I guess.
Thank you. So how can someone heal their emotions so that they don't feel attracted again to these type of toxic relationships? What are some small steps or routines or habits that someone can do to start appreciating themselves or to start healing their emotions?
Oh, I think I love this question because I just talked about it. It's a stage of imperfect progress. It's walking away from expecting perfectionism, I'm guessing. We want everything to be like, oh, we're never going to be triggered by that again. We're never going to fall in love with the sweet nothings and the breadcrumbing. But we have to get into the habit of intentionally catching ourselves. It doesn't happen naturally at first, but intentionally catching yourself, you're like, wait, this guy is such a good talker. But when it comes to the actions, there's nothing there. And behavior is the only language we need in relationships. It's not going to happen overnight. And this is what I tell my clients that I'm working with. But you're not looking for perfection. You're looking for that, aha, wait, I recognize that this guy is breadcrumbing me. So guess what? I'm not going to fall for that again. And then repeating those actions, right? It's replacing the behavior with a good habit. And catching yourself whenever you want things to be perfect, whenever you're knocking yourself because you're imperfect, and giving yourself grace, remembering, I'm looking for aha. I'm not looking for perfection just in one day.
Thank you. What are some good ways to start building integrity within yourself again so you can trust yourself to take the right actions? Like you said, in terms of like keeping the promises that you are telling yourself, what kind of promises should someone make for themselves? And then how do they manage to keep them better?
So whenever we get out of a relationship, sometimes we're in this angry phase. It's not all of my clients, but some of my clients are angry. I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have done that. What happens is we fell out of love with a version of ourselves that broke the promises. And sometimes we transferred it to the person we gave that time to. So going back over that, those promises that you think that you did not keep to yourself, going one by one, sometimes it takes years, but going one by one and actually say, maybe I need to get in shape. Maybe I need to try something different. Maybe keeping those promises is rebuilding the trust with yourself, because trust is not outside. Confidence doesn't come from outside. It comes from those daily actions that you do when nobody's watching. You go through that list and actually fulfill those promises to yourself. Keep the promises you made to yourself. Because when you fell out of love with that person, it didn't start from there. You fell out of love with yourself first. I don't recognize who I am anymore. When I look in the mirror, I'm not happy. I prefer the time I'm not with him to the time that I'm with him. So it's basically going and reconnecting with yourself.
Thank you. What about, let's say, when you're in a toxic relationship that really fulfills you sexually, so much so that when you're actually with that person, you end up, you end up glowing, and then you end up like looking 10 years younger, and then you end up, I know, getting an extra 100,000 followers, and then it works out perfectly from a perspective. But when you find out, you know, this person is betraying you or lying you or not coming to your meetings on time, you start spiraling, and then you have so much anxiety, and then you simply feel like, oh my God, you just cannot cope with this anymore. What do you do then? Because you like that feeling of, you know, glowing up and looking great and being fulfilled sexually. At the same time, you dislike having all of these promises that you made to yourself, that you want someone who is, you know, who's going to respect you and someone who's going to come on time and someone who is going to, you know, be monogamous with you and so many other things.
Breaking toxic relationships are so addictive. So I keep going back to this example. Breaking a toxic relationship is like falling out of love with a drug. Your brand of heroin is this man, basically. My brand of heroin was my ex. So I needed to come to the point of realizing if I'm not on him, if I'm not on that drug, if I'm not getting that dopamine hit every day, I don't feel like myself. I can't recognize who I am. The other parts of me are dying. My finances are dying. I'm not keeping promises to my business. Everything is dying outside of him. It's costing me more than it's giving me. That's where the law of reciprocity comes in. Getting to that point, yes, you're in a toxic relationship. Yes, you're addicted to this person. But getting to that point, it takes intentionality. It has to be absolutely intentional. Because I can't tell you it's ever going to feel good to break an addiction. Never feels good. Oh, I'm waiting for the perfect time. I have this girl I'm working with. I'm waiting for the perfect time. Maybe when he gets a job, when I will leave. No. There's no such thing as the perfect time. You have to decide intentionally that this drug of choice is not serving me. My finances suffer. My business is suffering. And then you, pros and cons, keeping, what am I gaining out of keeping this person in my life? And what am I losing? And from that, intentionally, logically, I always tell my clients, sometimes you have to tell the emotions to take the back seat and the logic drives. And sometimes when you're healing, the first couple of months is going to be logic all the way. Because you're going to be like, okay, emotions are like, okay, I need this drug of choice. I need him today. I miss him so much. You know, some days it feels like you're good and then you have to pull over because you're having a panic attack or anxiety, or you forget and drive to a place that you guys used to go to. And that's the trigger. The expectation that imperfect progress is better than staying where you are is also logic driving. So sometimes it's just logic takes the front seat, emotions in the back, and you stop feeling your way through everything and let the facts lead the way, I guess.
Thank you. What are some, I don't know, self-love or emotional balance techniques that you recommend for entrepreneurial women to use to come out of a toxic relationship? I mean, like once they have come out of that relationship, how can they rebalance themselves? What are some good methods? I don't know, some, is it yoga or meditation or walking or what?
I was about to go there, breath work, yoga, meditation, but every person is different, right? So maybe some people might not typically do the yoga, but they might do weightlifting, right? So each person has something that kind of gives them that hit that they want. And after, they're a different person after working out, or they're a different person after taking care of herself. I'm working with a mom with a child who has autism. She has two kids and they both have intellectual disabilities. So she needs to look good. She needs to put time in herself, because guess what? Children with disabilities, sometimes intellectual disabilities, they don't know that you need love. They don't know you need a hug. So some of these outlets for her work best. So depending on the personality of the person, I work with them based on where they are. Sometimes it's just dressing up. Sometimes it's that extra love. Sometimes it's just going to see your grandma. Sometimes it's even volunteering your time. Depending on where you are, sometimes we get those hits. We feel good. What is it for you? Is it gifts? Is it acts of service? Is it quality time? You find something that gives you that thing. Some people actually get a pet. I'm telling you, Lily, it's different for everybody.
Thank you. How can someone transmute their pain into happiness?
Ooh. Oh my God. So first, the journey from pain to happiness starts from anger. You have to get angry enough to decide that you will never let that happen again. Followed by that anger, you look for a proven strategy. There has to be a strategy that I can definitely know that I can protect myself. What skills do I need to have in place? Do I need emotional regulation? Do I need communication skills? Do I need conflict resolution? What is it that by having this in my life, this is not going to happen again? So when you have those skills in place, next step is just constant repetition and grace and repetition and grace. And also just knowing that just because you're on your journey of healing doesn't mean everybody around you is on that healing journey. And it's okay when this person doesn't respect your boundaries, it's okay to walk away. Not holding on so tightly to your past. Because of all the change that's happening, some people, they get into a fear of losing everything. And then they keep relationships that don't benefit them. So being okay with walking away. And then just making new friends. Do they value what I value? Do they want open communication? Can I, you know, fight with them and talk to them the next day? How does it feel like when we have a disagreement, you know, and being able to just step by step, Rome wasn't built in a day, give yourself grace for the bad days, I guess.
Thank you. I find that one thing that builds me up when I have a breakup, which I haven't had in a long time, but when I did, I think one thing that you can focus on is improving yourself in general. So improving your knowledge, making yourself feel happy, and also making yourself look absolutely irresistible.
Yes, definitely. Because one of the things that women carry coming out of a relationship is, wasn't I good enough? Why wasn't I good enough, right? So putting that time into showing yourself that, hey, I am worthy. I look good. I feel good. And obviously, I don't know why men call this, it's the post-breakup glow up, where a woman looks so good after the divorce. So it's so good after the breakup. So they're finally seeing their value for who they are. And that's a good, Yeah, that's a good, actually a good way to know that you are healing.
Yes, and I find that you could, there are multiple ways you can transmute your pain to go from hard to happy. And I think one good way is actually to even write a book, because when you write a book, you analyze what you did and what you didn't do, and then you start to take responsibility. And if you can turn that into a book or a course teaching other women about this, perhaps in the same way that you are doing or you are thinking of doing, is really inspirational, you know, because you took what you learned and then you turned it into a lesson for other people, and potentially it could impact millions of people. Like your own pain, your own suffering, what you learned could impact millions of people. The other thing I would do is even write a song. And I think right now with AI, it's so easy to do it. And that's the reason why I'm going to write multiple songs on, you know, that are inspired by, you know, previous boyfriends. And I think that is a really good way to transmute your pain into happiness, because you can actually turn that, you know, that pain into millions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you see that, I can benefit out of, you know, and also for somebody who's in a toxic relationship and you're not sure whether you're crazy, you're not sure if you're making things up, the documentation that you talked about, wait, he said this, and I'm honest, it can help you mentally just getting through that relationship. The documentation reminds you that I'm not losing my mind. So absolutely, writing things down, journaling, writing a book, that's a healing process, absolutely.
I also think creating a journal. So for example, like in your case, I'm not sure if you even have a journal yet, but you could have a journal about how to go from being hurt to being happy, because I think betrayal is such it's a thing that happens to like Kim Kardashian, who is like absolutely incredibly beautiful, and to like J-Lo and like all these incredibly beautiful women that are successful, making millions, and you know, you look at them, you cannot find a fault, you know, to what they're doing. They're absolutely incredible, and if it can happen to them, it can happen to any of us, you know. So I think it's so important to transmute that pain into a product of some kind, because that way you can actually impact millions of people. And I think that way you kind of start to realize, actually, that pain was worth it, because if I hadn't gone through that, I would never understand.
Absolutely.
So tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
Right now, it's just YouTube. I have a YouTube channel where I share most of these lessons. And whenever you feel like you need it, it's like, just play. You need something for the day, just play it. It's so easy and reachable.
Tell us, what's your 10 commandments for going from hurt to happy?
Ooh, I liked that one. I think the first one is imperfect progress, for sure. Imperfect progress, for sure. The second one is the law of reciprocity, because there's a balance. By looking at the law of reciprocity, then we're going to what should have happened? What was I missing? Under the law of reciprocity, there's just an honesty that comes with, I actually need monogamy. I'm not difficult to love, right? So under that, it's being honest with yourself is just so big when it comes to reciprocity. Another thing is the law of repair. I think that would be my number three, because what cannot be fixed won't stand the test of time. Can somebody communicate clearly, right? We're looking at boundaries here. Underneath the law of repair, there's boundaries. Do they honor your boundaries? Do they, how do they act when they're caught in a lie? Do they show complete ownership? That branching out there. Then the law of autonomy. Do they respect your goals and dreams? Are you a human being with flesh and blood? Your values matter. Your needs even matter. I think it goes, I think I have blocks and then I break it down, so it might go a little bit longer. But one thing that I want to talk about is self-worth. Because yes, we've talked about confidence, we've talked about autonomy, we've talked about the law of repair. But in discovering all these things, you have to know, hey, am I worthy of all these things? Can I fight for all of these things? That decision comes through all the processes of imperfect progress, knowing that I can fail because I am worthy, I will keep going. The law of reciprocity, I am worthy. I'm not difficult to love. I need this in the relationship. The law of repair, hey, I am worthy of a relationship that stands the test of time. The law of autonomy, my needs matter. That is covered through all of this. So I know I'm mixing things up, but, and then one thing that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, one thing, number six, that really is emotional intelligence, because knowing when to respond and not to respond is also very powerful in relationships. We cannot always expect our partner to be a 10. Sometimes they're coming to us from a 6. They've had a bad day. They've had a bad meeting. And knowing, oh yeah, this energy might not be directed at me. Or knowing when to, you know, escalate, or when to fight, or when to buffer. Emotional regulation and emotional intelligence, it's just power there. That's number 7 and number 8, emotional intelligence, emotional regulation. And number 9, learn and learn. Fail forward, right? There's some people who don't like change. Change is like, oh my God. But being able to fail and fail forward, it's okay. I failed. But hey, guess what? Perfect in progress, right? But even as I learn in this relationship, even as I'm learning how to take ownership, I'm learning how to conflict resolve, as I'm in a new relationship, as I'm facing my triggers, as I'm learning emotional regulation, fail and fail forward. And lastly, I would say you're the magic. The only thing that goes in every relationship is you. So being able to know that. Yeah.
Thank you. Tell us, how can someone who is already using disempowering beliefs or disempowering phrases about themselves, how can they rephrase that to make them empowering for their next relationship?
Disempowering phrases, there are two things that happen in disempowering. Either it's a voice, somebody, we're repeating an abusive voice. So we're taking the role of an abuser in our lives, or it's because we lack confidence in ourselves because we've seen ourselves break so many promises. So there are two ways you can go with this. It's just that doing the inner healing work, if you're taking on the role of your abuser, and with the confidence, it's just taking the steps to actually show yourself, hey, I can do this. That's not, I didn't make a, I didn't tell a lie. I'm going to the gym, see, you know, and just proving yourself wrong. With the taking on the role of the abuser, that's a different path, a different healing path, because taking on the role of an abuser is actually intentionally abusing yourself. And that comes from deep self-worth issues. And
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.